This is Pastor Ron Laney from Pleasant Grove Church. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in to us today, and I hope that this message is a great encouragement and a blessing to your life. Here is some good news from the Grove. All right, take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to start a new series of thoughts called, Lord, I Need More Wisdom. Lord, I Need More Wisdom. Can we just kind of make that title our prayer for these next several weeks and really for our life? In fact, if you're praying for Sandy and I ask you to pray this one thing, at least this one thing. Pray a bunch of stuff over us. We need it. Her especially. She needs it because she's got to put up with me, for sure. But pray for us that God would give us wisdom. We've got a lot to do, a lot of decisions to make, a lot of leading of the church and your lives and speaking into you and all our family stuff. We've got all that kind of stuff too. But we ask that you ask the Lord to give us wisdom at every turn. That's important, isn't it? That's important. So Lord, I need more wisdom. Let's talk from the subject of a hearing heart. So I want you to join me over the next few weeks. We're going to spend 3, 4, 5 weeks on this deal and get us up to our Christmas time. This wisdom challenge over the next several weeks, this is what I'd like you to join me in, that include this into your daily devotion, that you will read a proverb every day. Now, I've done this several times in my life to where, you know, I whatever day corresponds with that particular chapter, I read that chapter for the day. Anybody ever done that kind of thing? I think Billy Graham really kind of come out with that years and years ago. At least that's where I heard it from. But like today's November the 12th, if you'll read Proverbs chapter 12. And then tomorrow the 13th, Proverbs 13, the 14th, Proverbs 14, and so on, so forth, so on, et cetera, right? And as we get back into December, we'll kind of wrap around to the first chapter. So can you include that into your dailies this coming few weeks? Can you do that? And we're just going to read the Proverbs. It's loaded up with wisdom, all kinds of wisdom. Some of them are these little pithy sayings that are just wonderful and kind of give you these word pictures, and some of them are a little bit longer discourses. But join me in that wisdom challenge over the next. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to test you in about 4 weeks and see how smart you got. All right. That's going to be fun, ain't it? That's going to be fun. All right. So let's start with this. Just a couple opening scriptures about wisdom. Listen to this In 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, Paul is writing his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says this about Timothy. He says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. These Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See that phrase right there? The Scriptures are able to make you wise. I like to think of it like this. Able to make you smarter than you really are. The Scriptures contain a particular kind of knowledge. It's not knowledge that you're going to get out of a science book or a math book or an English class or something like that. The Scriptures bring a particular kind of knowledge. In fact, I believe it's the most important knowledge on the earth. You can't get it from any other source. They teach us about God, who He is, His creation, what He desires out of us, what He requires out of us. It teaches us about us and our life. I mean, even on the opening page, it says that you and I were created in His image and in His likeness. That's some pretty important information to know, isn't it? If not, you're going to go to a school and they're going to teach you came from monkeys. I know some people act like it, but that don't mean it's so. That's important for me to know because I didn't crawl out of the slime. I fell out of heaven. I came out of God's mind. That's important to know. That's going to help me navigate my future ahead. So this knowledge that the Bible gives us, it'll make you wise in the things that are the most important about life. It'll teach you about how to handle your relationship with God. It'll teach you what's the problem in your relationship with God. It'll teach you the solution to your relationship with God, which we know to be Jesus. It'll teach you how to build healthy relationships with other people. It's a particular kind of knowledge that you really can't live properly without. It'll teach you about life. It'll teach you about life after death. What happens after we die? Able to impart the most important knowledge a person can receive. That's what the Scriptures do. And did you know that there was a time in our history in the United States of America, not so long ago, that our education system was created, our university system was created and established in this country for the sole purpose of teaching people the Scriptures. Do you realize that? And my, how things have changed. Able to make you wise. Now, and in Psalm 119, 24, talking about the Word of God. In fact, Psalm 119 is like one of my favorites. I've been digging through that for about the last month, really, in my own personal devotions, just kind of learning more about this. Psalm 119 is a tribute to the Word of God. It says this, "Your testimonies," read it with me, will you? "Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Now think about it. You fan through the pages of that Bible and you run across people. He calls them testimonies. You run across people like Noah. You run across some of his testimony. You run across a testimony that covers several chapters of men like Abraham and Jacob. You read across and you come across the testimony of men like Joseph. And then you come to like Moses and then all the wanderings of the children of Israel. These are testimonies. Now, I'd love to hear your testimony. I love to hear all those kind of things. We sit down and have a cup of coffee and you tell me some of your story. But I want to tell you that God chose and saw fit that the most important testimonies that a person can hear and understand and learn from are right there in your Scriptures. And the psalmist right here says this. He says that your testimonies, all those stories of how you worked in people's lives and how you intervened and did all those kind of things, your testimonies, I enjoy them. I love them. They're my delight. But they're not just my delight. They talk to me. They're my counselors. They're my counselors. They teach me. They train me. They console me. They comfort me. They correct me. They convict me. They help lead me and guide me. You need some good counseling? Read some of these testimonies. They'll help you out. They're able to make you wise. And confess this with me, will you? I'm going to read it to you before I let you say it out loud, just so you know what you're confessing. I always said, preachers say, hey, you're going to agree with me? Repeat after me. I said, no, I want to know what you're going to say before I start repeating stuff. You know, I'm just like that. Anyway, this is what we're going to talk about. I need to know the Scriptures because they are able to make me wise in the things that matter most. Can we all agree on that? Can you confess this with me? Say it with me. I need to know the Scriptures because they are able to make me wise in the things that matter most. Lord, I need not just more wisdom. I need your wisdom. That's important. It's important. All right, so Colossians 2:3. As we just introduced them before we get to 1 Kings 3. It says this about Christ. It says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you begin to read the Gospels, you'll find that out. That when he opens up his mouth, it's better than gold and silver. That when he begins to speak, the words that come out of his mouth and hit your ears are more precious than the money that's in the bank. In him are hidden. And you know what? They're hidden in him. But if you talk to him about it and read after him and follow after him, he's willing to let you in on some of it. You ever find that out? In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He'll help you. All right, so let's get to our story. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to talk a little bit about Solomon. All right, now, aside from Jesus, Solomon is known as the wisest man to have ever lived. In fact, we're still reading his writings today. If you join me in that Proverbs challenge, you're going to be reading the writings of Solomon. Okay. Now, how did he get to be so wise? We find this story out in 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon has just become king. Now, just a little backstory on this. He has just become king. Who was his father? He was the son of David and Bathsheba. Remember Bathsheba, the whole story of all of that? Well, later they made things right. They got together and God blessed them with this son called Solomon. That all by itself is a great picture of how God can take our worst mistakes and turn it into something redemptive. Aren't you glad for that story? We could talk about that for a little bit, couldn't we? His father, David, has just died. Now you think about this. David is one of the greatest men of all of human history. This is this guy's dad. All right? And so when you hear things in the Proverbs and he's writing and it says, my son, this is like David talking to him when you come across those kind of statements. David is talking to him, teaching him the wisdom that it's going to take for him to be who God called him to be. His daddy is one of the greatest men of human history. His daddy is a great mix of a man. He's a warrior. He's a ruler. He's a worshiper. He writes poems. He can take care of sheep or he can kill Goliath. He's a pretty good dude. I like him. I like him a whole lot. One day we're going to study David. It's going to take us about a year to do it, but I love his story. And it's sorted with all the drama that we have as humans. But his dad was one of the greatest. In fact, his dad is like the standard of what it is to be a king and a good man. God uses David as the standard. In fact, Israel today flies under the flag. And on that flag is called the Star of David. Right? Now imagine just for a moment, you are his son. And you've got to fill the shoes of the greatest man up to that particular time who's ever lived in Israel. That'd be pretty big, wouldn't it? And Solomon's no doubt feeling the pressure. There's all sorts of business to take for the nation. There's all sorts of family turmoil that's going on. You read some of the first few chapters of 1 Kings right there and all the things that are happening, even on into 2 Samuel and all that kind of thing. You see all these kind of things that are happening. There's been some difficult decisions that Solomon has had to make in his early days. He's had to basically execute some of his enemies underneath his father's charge before he died. He's had some difficult days. So he realizes that he needs wisdom. He realizes that he is in over his head. You ever felt like that before? That I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe it's in a family situation, or maybe it's in a business situation. Maybe it's just in a life in general, choosing a career, a future, a college, or something of that nature. Or maybe it's a diagnosis that you've gotten from the doctor, and you're just in over your head. You're just overwhelmed by the whole deal. You ever feel like that? Yeah. Just part of the human experience. These times when we feel like, and it's not just a feeling, many times it's a fact, we're in over our heads. These times present us with an opportunity that we can become filled with fear and anxiety, or we can become more dependent upon God. And we have to make a choice in those times. And the best thing that you and I can do when we get in over our heads and we get overwhelmed and hey, if you're going to do what God has called you in to do in your life, you're going to be in over your head. If you can figure everything out, and you can do it on your own, I'm just going to tell you, that's not plan A. Whether it's the business world, whether it's ministry, whether it's helping, or my goodness, just raising kids put you in over your head. Good Lord. You know, you look at those kids and your head wants to spin sometimes. You're like, Lord, what can I do with that one? I don't need, none of y'all understand that. I know. The best thing we can do when we try to handle life situations, especially the big situations, is to cry out to God for help. Let me let you in on a little secret. Can you come a little closer? Let me tell you this. One of the most spiritual prayers you can ever pray is this. Help! It's not eloquent, but it's real. That is one of the best prayers anybody can pray. You're sinking in the water. Help! I need you to help me. And that's kind of what Solomon does. All right? It's a profound way to pray. It really is. Let's just kind of walk through this account of 1 Kings chapter 3 right here. It says that Gibeon, the Lord, appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Well, that's pretty loaded up, isn't it? So in this dream, God speaks to him. It's a real vivid thing. It's a real thing. God's speaking to this man in the night, in his sleep. And he says, I want to know. You ask me. I'm going to give you a blank check, Solomon. You fill it in. What do you want me to do for you? Got me to thinking. What if God came to us individually? And he laid that out. And Jesus kind of did. He said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened. So what are you going to ask for? That's what he says. Ask. What do you want me to get? How would you answer that question? How would you answer? Would you be driving by that billboard over in town and it says $256 million? Whew. Is that what you'd ask for? Or maybe you'd ask for health. Or maybe you'd ask to be greater. You know, just saw the guy that just passed away. The guy on Friends. I can't even think of his name right now. But the guy who just passed away. Remember who I'm talking about? I saw a video the other day. He said he made a prayer in his early days that God would make him famous. And that then soon after he became, known for that Friends role that he played. He got the job. Wow. And fame turned out to be almost detrimental, devastating to him. Well, what would you ask for? That's a pretty neat thing to think about. Because our Father is so generous and gracious and kind that He wants to give you the desires of your heart, but He also wants to implant in you the desires of your heart so that He can give you what you actually want, because what you actually want is in His heart. And He wants to take our wanter, synchronize it with His wanter so that we want what He wants and we bring that into the earth. Did you get all that wanting? Did you get all that? What would you ask for? Verse number 6. Solomon begins to talk to God. And, you know, whenever you hear people talking to God in the Scripture, that's just kind of real holy stuff. Always treat that with a lot of respect. He says to God, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child." I'm just young. And look at what he says to God. It's just honest. "I do not know how to go out or come in." My translation of this is that I'm king and I don't know what I'm doing. Huh? You know, he could have been like his brother Adonijah, who caused a lot of trouble, lost his life over it. He could have been like Adonijah. He could have been, "Well, it's about time I got my chance. I've been waiting to show the world who I really am." He could have been like that now. A lot of people are. "My brothers tried to steal it from me, but I show everybody I'm going to be the best king ever, better than them, better than dad." He could have been like that. A lot of guys like that. Gets in a lot of hearts. To be exalted above everybody. He could have been like, "It's about time somebody recognized my greatness." He could have been like that. But no. He went a different route. Solomon took the humble route. And it really shows that he actually was kind of smart before he really got wise. And this is what you got to be smart enough. You got to be smart enough to know that you don't know what you need to know so that you can know what you need to know. And he says to God in this prayer, "I need you to help me. I don't know what I'm doing." I just wonder how God would honor that kind of prayer in your life. You got business. You got accounts you got to deal with. You got customers. You got people. You got employees. You got coworkers. You got family. You got kids. Instead of acting like you're all tough and know it all, you ever met anybody that thinks they know it all and they're the only ones that knows that they don't know nothing? They the only ones that don't know that? They don't know nothing? I wonder how God would honor it if you just, over your children maybe, I don't know, over your business, whatever you're doing, over your life, over your future, say, "Lord, I don't really know what I'm doing. I need you to help me." I wonder what kind of divine explosion would happen in your life after you prayed something like that. I dare you to try it out. I want to watch it. Verse number, let's get this idea, the humility that Solomon shows. Let's talk about that just for a second. Humility is a real important posture before God, isn't it? So what would be the opposite of a humble heart? What would be the opposite of that? A prideful heart, a proud heart, right? Listen to what's said right here. It says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. Now, this is Paul dealing with that thorn in the flesh. We're not even sure what that was. It was certainly the persecution, and maybe he had some kind of physical ailment they talk about. His eyes were bad and all that kind of thing. I personally think it was a messenger of Satan is what he actually says it is. It's a demonic force that just follows him and thwarts everything he's trying to do. And he said, I want you to take that away from me. And he prayed it three times. And he said, God spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Say it with me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He gets a word from the Lord right here. And God said, I got the power and strength to help you get through this. I'm not going to cause it to go away. I'm going to give you the power to go through it because I want you to learn this lesson. That my strength, God's strength, is made perfect when you're not strong. It's that humility principle again. It's that you can experience the power of God only when you humble yourself and realize that you're weak. That's a real important thing for a person, right? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, he flipped the coin right here. He said, I'm okay. I'm okay with reproaches. I'm okay in need. I'm okay in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Say it with me. You're going to talk to me a little bit today. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Huh. Because when I am weak, I lean on His strength and not mine. Now, one more. James 4, 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You got to know that. So Solomon, without a doubt, he postures himself, says, Lord, I'm in a position that's above me and beyond me. I'm following my dad, who's one of the greatest men in human history. And these great people, I've got to speak into their lives and lead them. I need your help. I don't know what I'm doing. And it's a place of vulnerability, but when you do it in Christ and when you do it before God, I'm not talking about you just, being some kind of weak coward. I'm talking about you before God realizing that without His help, you're going to wreck this boat. And you humble yourself. God said He'd pour out grace. He'd empower you to do what you can't do without it. All right. Back to Solomon. Verse number 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, here's his request. What do you want? He fills it in right here. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? You see that? He feels it. He said, this is what I want from you, God. I want this more than anything else. I want an understanding heart. Now, that's a real interesting phrase in the Hebrew. This is what it means. An understanding heart is a hearing heart. We would say it like this, a listening heart. God, I want you to give me, let's say it like this. I want you to make me the kind of person that listens well. My Lord, wouldn't you flip out if your spouse said something like that and prayed something like that? Wouldn't you flip out if your kid said something like that? See, Mama taught me that principle a long, long time ago. She told me this. She said, son, just take a picture of yourself in the mirror. Look at it. God gave you two ears and one mouth, and you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. Now, I had a hard time learning that lesson. You know what I'm talking about? Because, see, I always thought people need to know how smart I am, so I need to tell them. Smartness don't happen through the mouth. It comes through the ears. You know that. And you know what? The adversary has launched an all-out attack on this generation. And he has tried to give us what we call ADHD and all these other D's and all this other mess he's given us, to where we absolutely have become a people because of these phones and these devices that we deal with. Spans are absolutely zero. And it's an attack. I'm not saying that phones are of the devil. They can be a wonderful thing a couple times a day. But what's happening in our culture is that we're becoming a people who absolutely cannot listen. In fact, it's hard for many people to come into a setting like this and sit there for 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever and just absorb and listen, because we have literally, the world, which is part of our enemy, the world has rewired our brains to where we can't soak in information. And it's killing us. And Solomon says, I want to have the kind of heart that hears. So that I can discern. What's that? What's discern? Well, to discern means to distinguish or decide, make a decision. And judge is the same idea. That I can make the right call and the right decisions between good and evil. Seems like I remember a bunch of different good and evil stories. I remember one way back early on in our history with our parents, Adam and Eve. Remember that story, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Mm-hmm. Give me an understanding heart. And God heard that. And it says this, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. He requested a hearing heart. God said, I like that. And he gave it to him. And he says this, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies. See, God heard what he didn't ask too. But have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall be any like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you had not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of your days. God just threw out the bonus extra blessing. That's just kind of how he is. So if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And then Solomon woke up to a whole new world. He was a whole new man. Wouldn't it be something if you laid your head on your pillow, you had an encounter with God, and you woke up a brand new person? He can do that now. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Let's wrap it up with this. How did Solomon become so wise? Did it come through the education system? Did it come through reading books? All that stuff's really important. But how did it really happen for Solomon? It was an impartation, wasn't it? It was a miracle. God touched this man's life in the middle of a dream and changed him into a different man. How can we become wise? What if you ask God for that? I mean, these testimonies are my counselor. What if Solomon could ask for that to rule a kingdom? Could I ask for that to help with my family? My job, my business, my life. I believe that's what God would want. He asked and God answered. Gave him a wise, an understanding heart, a hearing heart. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God. Now, a hearing heart. Get this now. An understanding heart means a hearing heart, a listening heart. I'm going to tell you, if you could develop If you could ask God to impart something to you and then you begin to develop that gift, if you learn to listen better, I'm just going to tell you right now, it would heal many marriages overnight. Sir, I would tell you that your wife's greatest complaint is that you don't listen to anything she says. How many of you women knew that when you got your husband that the ears were sold separately? They just are, aren't they? Ladies, how many of your men would look you in the face and say, she won't listen to me. All she wants to do is her own thing. And if together, somehow or another, we could hear God and we could learn to listen to Him and then we learn to listen to each other, it would change the entire culture and climate of your family and our community. I promise you. And Solomon asked for a hearing heart. A heart, I believe it encompasses all this and probably lots more. A heart to hear God. The most often thing that Jesus is quoted as saying, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And what if you could hear what the Spirit of God is saying about you, about your situation, about what you're in, about your life, about what your calling is, about what your business is, about what this particular deal is going to deal with, you're going to have to deal with, about how to speak into somebody's life. What if you could hear God like that? Lord, give us a listening heart. A heart to discern between good and evil, or right and wrong. And boy, if you hadn't noticed that black and white, good and evil, all everybody now is wanting to live in the gray. We've lost our discernment. A heart to listen to people around you. This is something I've learned. I have to watch myself because, see, I mean, my whole life and calling is wrapped around me speaking and talking and teaching. So when I do counseling, sit down, you know what the most valuable thing that I do when I counsel somebody? It's not what I say. It's for me just to sit there. And I've sat in hours worth of counseling sessions to where I did not even speak a thing. Because the most valuable thing to do is to listen. I'll tell you how I learned to listen. I learned to listen. It was early on in my pastoring. There was a lady in our church. And she had cerebral palsy, some kind of palsy of that kind. And she had one of them little tricycles, and she walked, and she drug a leg, and she was a fighter, boy. She went all, in fact, she worked for the University of Georgia system, and she went around speaking to people who had all kinds of infirmities and problems and difficulties, and she was the motivational speaker. But you really hardly could understand her. She talked like you would think somebody would talk with that had that problem. And I was talking to her one day, and her name was Janice. In order to listen to Janice, you had to look dead in her eyes, and you had to watch her, and you had to read her lips, and you had to listen. You had to lock in. You know what I'm talking about? Lock in. One time I remember we were talking about something, and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. And I said, Janice, I'm sorry. Can you repeat yourself? She said, and I couldn't get it. And I was distracted. My mind was distracted. I was looking at her, but I was thinking about something else, and I couldn't lock in. And I said, tell me again. And so we went through that about four or five times, and she looked at me, and she said, oh, forget it. But I had the honor of sending her home to Jesus. She's a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady. Didn't seem to have a penny in the world. And the Lord used her to teach me how to listen. In fact, when I left that conversation, God said, I want you to go back and sit with her. I'm going to teach you how to listen. And He taught me how to lock in. Now, Sandy still hopes I learn some of them lessons again, but, you know, that's another story. I'm trying. So we need a heart to listen to people around us. A heart to understand the Scriptures. To listen to the Scriptures talk to you. How many of you have ever had the experience where you read a scripture or two, or you read a chapter or two, and you closed the Bible, and you don't have a clue what you just did? Anybody ever had that besides me? What happened? We stopped listening somewhere along the way, didn't we? Stopped listening. A heart to do the right thing for God, and a heart to do the right thing for others' sake. So can you join me in praying that? Can we ask the Lord for that? Can we ask the Lord for that? Lord, help us. We hear this testimony of Solomon, this encounter that he had with you. Lord, every time I read it, every time I talk about this, every time I come across it, my heart just stirs and says, Lord, I need that more. I need that more. So I pray for each one of us individually and all of us collectively, Lord, that you would give us that understanding heart. You would help us to cultivate that skill of listening, of hearing you. And not just hearing you just for the sake of knowledge, but hearing you for the sake of doing what you say. Help us, Lord. Touch us in a great way. Speak to us. Help us to be a wiser people.